Hello, my name is Lily Chaudhry, and you're listening to Happiness Now, Secrets to Success from the East and West. This podcast is all about empowering us to achieve happiness and success in every aspect of life. These talks are based on the works of Gautam Alisha, and he's a renowned teacher, trainer, and motivational speaker and author for over 15 years based in Lahore, Pakistan. And today's topic is about effective or impactful communication. And we've discussed communication in one of our previous podcasts as one of the important life skills. Regardless of what our goals are in life, being an effective communicator is essential in achieving success and happiness in whatever it is that we desire. We need to be able to communicate in order to get anything in life. So the better our communication, the easier it will be to achieve our goals. Today, we'll discuss this skill in more detail and focus on the six areas of our personality that can help our communication be more impactful. These are truthfulness, sincerity, gentleness, emotional balance, hard work and knowledge, and rapport building. I mean, if we think about it, if there are two people saying the same thing, will their impact be the same? Obviously, the answer is no. Some people have more impact in their speech than others. And if we think about this, for the many religions of the world, there are thousands of preachers today who are able to effectively communicate to their listener. This is largely dependent on the traits and personality of the preacher. We see some that have a congregation of just a handful of people, and then we see those others that have thousands and additional millions of people tuning in to hear what they have to say through television and internet. I remember as a kid, I caught my mom a few times watching Sunday morning sermons on TV by some evangelical Christian ministers. And my family is Muslim, so it was a bit confusing. I mean, she did always tell us that we have a lot in common with people, and if we take notice, we should focus on our similarities. I mean, in this instance, Islam and Christianity both revere Jesus and Mary. In fact, there's an entire chapter about Mary in the Quran. But I think my mom was just really wowed by the sermons. Some of the preachers are really good, and they know how to capture an audience. So this shows how being an effective communicator can really reach people. And only some of us manage to be impactful, but all of us want to increase the impact of what we say. We want to be able to affect others, to eventually get whatever it is that we need. Gautam Alisha says that as a child, he had a teacher that he used to love to listen to. He would ask him questions all the time, just to hear him talk more. And every time there was something his mother couldn't convince him of, she would go and ask this teacher of his, and Gautam Alisha would happily listen to him right away. So this teacher was an effective communicator. He had an impact on his students. And it's said about the great 10th century Persian sheikh named Abdul Qadir Jilani, who was a saint and a teacher, that whenever he would talk about the wrath of God or the love of God, people in the audience would literally lose their consciousness, either because of the fear they felt or because of their joy. And it's not that he was the only one who knew or talked about God's love or wrath. It's because of who he was and the way he talked about God that made his speech so impactful, so effective, more than others. There's an incident when the saint got sick one day and wasn't able to give the weekly sermon. So he asked his son to do it. When the audience insisted that they hear the saint, he came and just said a few words. He basically came and said, "I'm feeling a bit sick today." And just upon hearing these few words, the audience was in tears. So this was his effect on people, his impact. Historically, figures who were the most influential were those whose communication was impactful. The greatest blessings for a speaker is that what he says creates some impact. Many people have knowledge, but very few are able to convey it effectively. A famous columnist, Javed Chaudhry, once wrote, "It's man who decides what he wants to speak or write about, but it's God who decides whether a man's spoken or written words will enter a person's heart." When there's a communication between two people, there's like a giving and taking of ideas. And we do this constantly in life. We have to, in order to progress and be successful. And in order to do this, we have to be open for the change, open for new things. Let's take, for example, when we're moving homes. Often we'll throw out old furniture and buy new furniture. But we only do this if the new stuff is better than what we had. Because remember, quality will find its place. The effective communicator somehow will make us believe that his message is a quality message, and it's worth making room for and taking in. So if the quality of the idea or message impacts someone, they'll be willing to throw out the old, unfitting items like old beliefs, old ideas, things they've learned in the past they may be able to throw these out and let new ideas and new insights take their place. And if the new ideas don't resonate, then they'll be throwing those out. So we'll go on to talk about some of the traits we need to make our communication more effective and more influential and make people believe that what we have to say has worth, has value and quality. So here are the 5 areas we can work on to help make us more effective communicators so that our ideas and thoughts can find the place in people's hearts and minds. These 5 things are based on Qasim Ali Shah's personal research, teaching for over 15 years to various age groups, from students to teachers to administrators to businessmen to military forces, you name it. He's had every type of audience. So the first factor, he says, that will help us to have more impactful communication is truthfulness. Without being totally honest, we can't ever truly connect with people. There is no substitute for the truth, and the truth has its own impact, and the truth verifies itself. So even if somebody hears it and they're not quite sure about it, over time, it will be proven right. It's said that truth is always going to be rewarded, and a lie is always going to be punished. It's just a matter of time, but consequences of both truthfulness and lying are inevitable. So another point about truthfulness in speech is that an honest speaker is probably going to be more confident because all he has is the truth. He has nothing to hide. He doesn't need to filter his thoughts. And what comes unfiltered and pure leaves a distinct impression. And a liar is always in doubt. Mark Twain once said, "When in doubt, tell the truth." Margaret Mead, one of the most notable American cultural anthropologists, said, "The only thing worth doing was to add to the sum of accurate information in the world." I feel like my dad has drilled this value of honesty into myself and my siblings so much so that sometimes I think we're truthful to a fault. I know it's gotten me into trouble many times. My dad was a federal employee for over 20 years. He worked in the USDA. Now he just runs a small private veterinary practice. But in those years, as a high-grade federal employee, he could have had some nice perks. One of them was having a company car. Because he used to do a lot of driving for work, he would have to drive to different states inspecting different meat plants and end up racking hundreds of miles every week. And I remember his own personal car would always be the most basic model of Toyota or Honda you've ever seen. And I mean basic. He wouldn't even let himself get air conditioning just to save some money for the family. I mean, he always got my mom a pretty nice car with options, but never for himself. Anyway, I remember him telling us as adults why he never got a company car. He said, "Well, if I ended up putting some personal miles on it and I didn't account for them, that would be dishonest." I mean, this speaks volumes for my dad. He's truly an amazing person. But it's because of his pure honesty that anything that he says to me, till today, I take it to heart. His words mean a lot to me, not only because he's my dad, but because I know he comes from a place of pure truth, so his words carry a lot of weight. The second trait for effective communication is sincerity. This is to have good intentions towards our audience and within ourselves. I think Qasim Ali Shah is coming at this characteristic from a public speaker's reference, but we can use this advice for any communication, really. So if our intentions become impure, our communication will be tainted. If the motivating force behind what we're saying is only to benefit ourselves, that's not sincerity. There should be some genuine good intentions towards the audience. And our intentions can be corrupted in different ways. For example, there are people who speak entirely for fame, or some people who speak just to flaunt their knowledge or show off. This type of speaker won't be that interested in adding value to the listeners' lives. Qasim Ali Shah reminds us that our fortune and fame are in God's hands, so we should keep our intentions pure, and success will come. Whenever we speak for these types of reasons, our words will be void of impact, because our intention is not to benefit the listener in any way. There's an article in Forbes titled "The 10 Communication Secrets of Great Leaders," and it says that the key is to approach each interaction with a servant's heart. When you truly focus on contributing more than receiving, you'll have accomplished your goal. There's a true story about a cobbler who worked in Rang Mahal Bazaar, Lahore, about 70 or 80 years ago. He was good at crafting kusas, which are a type of traditional Indian footwear made of leather. He was a simple man, but what made him popular amongst his customers wasn't his craft, but his speech. Whatever he would say would touch his customers' hearts, and people said he spoke out of sincerity. They would ask him to pray for them, and it seems that God used to listen to his prayers. His name was Baba Feroz. One day, a man asked him, "Baba, you're just a cobbler, but your words are so powerful, and your prayers are always answered. People think that you're a saint. What's your secret?" The cobbler looked up and said, When I work, I don't ever think that I'm just making shoes. I feel like I'm serving God. And this is part of my worship, because I'm making shoes for His people. This cobbler was a generous man too. It's said that he used to give most of his money away amongst the needy on his way home before going to bed. He would say, "I'm not worried about tomorrow. God is responsible for my sustenance." And he would say that a sincere cobbler is superior to an insincere king, and an insincere king is inferior to a sincere cobbler. No work is inferior, even if it's sitting on the footpath and mending shoes, but your intentions to do it determine your status. So sincerity makes all the difference, and this is true for actually every aspect of our life. If we talk sincerely without being selfish, our words will have impact. If we act sincerely, our actions will have impact. One of the most amazing stories of sincerity that I know of is that of Job, or Prophet Ayub. The story of Job is found in both Christian and Muslim scripture, and it's essentially the same narration. Job was a pious man, and he was a loved and chosen man of God who preached the truth to others. Satan, upon seeing this, argued to God that Job was only this way because of all that he was blessed with, and surely Job would leave his worship and preaching if he lost all his blessings. But God was sure of Job's sincerity towards him, so he agreed to let Satan test him. Over 7 years, Job suffered tremendous losses. He lost his wealth. His children were all killed in an accident. He became diseased, so much so that he was almost all bones. But he never stopped his worship of God or conveying his message. He never became ungrateful to him. He stayed sincere to God and to the people, regardless of what was happening to him. So Satan had been refuted. Job would say, "What God has taken away from me belonged to him." And one day, after his wife's request, after suffering for 7 years, he prayed to God for mercy. And because of his sincerity, God returned Job his health, his wealth, and he gave him more children. And it's said that he lived to see many generations of his offspring. So sincerity is a power, an energy, which is always at work behind whatever we say or do. The third factor in having impactful communication is gentleness. Now, this is not usually something motivational speakers will recommend, to be gentle, but Qasim Ali Shah says that history shows that the most influential and impactful people were gentle and soft in their demeanor. Max Lucado, the best-selling author and preacher, writes, "I choose gentleness. Nothing is won by force. I choose to be gentle. If I raise my voice, may it only be in praise. If I clench my fist, may it only be in prayer. If I make a demand, may it only be of myself." A harsh person is seldom an effective communicator. People who positively affect others are those who speak softly, listen patiently, and appreciate others. It's said that we can't bring about change with the sword, but we can do it with love. And we can't win hearts with terror, but we can do it with compassion. From an article written by Michael Linson, we see why gentleness is essential in being effective at communicating with our audience. And here are 5 key reasons, and these do reference teaching, but we can relate this to any type of communication. 1, gentleness is respected. Studies show that students respond best to a calm, even-handed approach. 2, gentleness lowers stress. It removes stress, tension, anxiety, and equals a happier, more productive classroom. The third reason why gentleness helps our communication is that gentleness curtails pushback. Being constantly calm reduces the possibility that our students will argue, or complain, or lie. Instead, they'll quietly take responsibility. 4, gentleness builds rapport. By having a gentle demeanor, we become more likable, and we build powerful leverage, influence, and rapport, which makes everything easier. And we're going to talk about rapport building a bit later. And 5, gentleness feels good. Having an easygoing manner will make us and others around us be happier. Others are more likely to listen to us when they're in a good mood. So the fourth factor that can make our communication more effective is having an emotionally balanced personality, what we otherwise would just consider as being normal. But let's see how we can define normal or balanced. One answer to this question is given by Imam Ghazali. He's an 11th century philosopher. He's said to be one of the most influential Muslims in history. He said, "A balanced person is like a pendulum. It goes to both extremes, but it always returns to the center." And this is where we're at our best, and we can really connect with other people. If something makes us angry or emotional, but we have a balanced personality, our state of anger is going to be short-lived. It's going to be temporary. Then we'll go back to our center, our normality. I mean, nobody wants to be around somebody who is an emotional wreck, let alone listen to them. An emotionally balanced person knows that life offers ups and downs. There's victories and defeats, some good and bad times. And a balanced person won't get overly sensitive and drown in their guilt or regret or anger or get lost in their joys or become arrogant and smug regardless of the situation. Dr. Lawrence Peter, who's a famous Canadian educator, said, "Speak when you're angry and you'll make the best speech you'll ever regret." The next factor in effective communication is hard work and knowledge. Emerson wrote, "Who you are is speaking so loudly that I can't hear what you're saying." So for people who have put in their hard work, their expertise speaks for themselves. And their words derive power from practice and experience. And we tend to listen to people who have put their knowledge into practice. When it comes to hard work, really productive people make full use of their days. And because they don't waste a lot of time, they have more rich experiences. They learn more. So when they speak, it's not theory, it's practical wisdom. And people know this and they listen. And when it comes to knowledge, people want to listen to a subject matter expert. The fake it till you make it will not get us very far. So we should have some command over our subject matter. I mean, even for this podcast, it's based on the works of Qasim Ali Shah. He is the SME here. He's the expert in self-help, motivational speaking, and he has decades of experience as a teacher, trainer in these subjects. I am by no means an expert in this, and I don't try to make off that I am. My degrees and work background are all in IT, for goodness sakes. I spent most of my days worrying about managing testing for software projects. And I don't pretend to be an expert in any of the topics we discuss. I'm merely packaging Qasim Ali Shah's talks, which he delivers only in Urdu, and I'm relaying them to an English-speaking audience. And actually, it was Qasim Ali Shah's proficiency, his knowledge, that really touched me to even start this project. And I wanted people who didn't understand Urdu to be able to benefit from his expertise. He has a deep understanding of human psychology, but also seems to have a deep knowledge of the human spirit through his studies in religion and belief in God. So that's why I make sure to start off each podcast episode with his reference. I am really just one of his students. And for me, this podcast is an exercise in learning, not teaching. So anyway, by us having the combination of our hard work and knowledge, it'll open people's minds to whatever we have to say. It helps guarantee that our message will be received. And the last characteristic that we'll discuss for effective communication is rapport building or relationship building. To have an impact, it's important that the communicator builds a trustworthy relationship with his audience. And this is what Qasim Ali Shah did in the first few minutes of this lecture by telling us about his childhood teacher. So by sharing a bit of his personal life, he established a connection with us. We have to be aware that we're preparing people to receive a message from us, so we want them to be in the right frame of mind for receiving it. For example, if we're trying to feed our child with a spoon, but he's facing the other way, what's going to happen to the food? It might end up on his clothes or the side of his face, but it won't reach its target. And the same goes for our communication. If the listener is not ready to receive our message, he's less likely to receive it. So we can't create any impact with having a connection. The stronger the connection between the speaker and the listener, the greater the impact of the communication. Qasim Ali Shah does personal counseling as well as speaking. And he relates that many times he has parents who come in and they complain about their kids that they don't listen or they're distant and they don't know what to do. And he says he tells them that they have to work on the connection between them, on relationship building. And he gives the same advice to teachers who complain about unruly students. If we think about a tank full of water and an empty tank next to it, if we want to transport water from one tank to another tank, we need to have some kind of pipe or something that'll connect one tank to the other. In the same way, we need a medium to effectively convey our message, and this medium is rapport. And here are a few tips for rapport building. Number one, build common ground. This is things like asking open-ended questions to get to know someone or find something in common. It can be a similar background or interests or values or beliefs. Having something in common with someone creates an instant connection and it makes it easier to have an impact on them. Number two, be helpful. Whenever someone knows that we want to help, he's going to be more interested in what we have to say. And this can be as easy as leaving a seat for someone to sit on. It can often become the starting point of conversation and thus a connection. Number three, be caring. We should genuinely be caring towards others, not just with words, but to show it in our actions, because a person who feels cared for will pay more attention to us and what we have to say. Number four is called mirroring. This means to adopt a similar body language and spoken language style of the one that you're speaking to. And we see this often in like law enforcement, where cops will talk to witnesses in the same volume and tone that they have, and also try to copy the body language that they have. But this has to be done in a very subtle way, though. We don't want to make somebody feel uncomfortable instead of more comfortable. Number five, make the person feel important. This we can do by simply listening to what they have to say. It's about valuing what other people think and believe. We can't make other people interested in what we have to say until we make them feel special in some way. So these are five things that we can easily learn to master the skill of rapport building. And it's a skill that historically all great teachers, great orators, great preachers have had. Without rapport building, there's no real communication that occurs. Bernard Shaw said the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. So in conclusion, in today's podcast, we discussed some of the important traits we should learn to have effective communication. Truthfulness, sincerity, gentleness, emotional balance, hard work and knowledge, and rapport building. Effective communication is an essential life skill that we should have in order for us to achieve whatever success and happiness we strive for. So the stronger our communication, the more likely we are to get what we want. Thank you so much for joining us today. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it with others. And of course, please feel free to share your comments and questions. You can contact us through Facebook or visit our website, www.happinessnowpodcast.com. I'm Lily Chaudhry. Please take care and take control.